Well, we were wondering earlier, have the Jays given up on hitting? Because they only had one run.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Have they started hitting?
Yes, they have.
Have they started scoring?
Nolan Clifford, a ground rule double, and Kyler Zukowski with a three-run blast. It's 9-4 Blue Jays in the sixth over Air Force.
Bo Pelini special.
Oh, is there any bunting, John?
Oh, yes, you're right. 9-4.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Pelini special.
Any bunts?
Any bunts, you say. I'm going to probably guess no.
Oh, don't tell Sindelar.
And that, John, is why bunting is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
No sacrifices today by the Blue Jays. I mean, when you're hitting as well as they are.
The month of Easter, too, no less.
You know, as a team, they're hitting over 350, and they've scored 71 runs. Now 80 runs in six games.
That's a lot. By the way, I think we did our math really poor the other day.
On what?
The runs in the games. Because remember we said, oh, that's like 12 runs a game or whatever. It was like closer to 14. I don't know why we were struggling so much with the math. We did the math wrong, essentially, when we were talking about it. Because right now they're averaging...
They're 14.2.
Yeah, so I think we said something like, it's like 12.
Well, I said 12, and then you corrected me and said 13.
Yeah, so I apologize.
Oh, tough look for math boy.
I want to apologize for me on Tuesday.
I was never... I mean, once we got past... I
thought you were of math.
Once we got past times 11, then I was in trouble.
Yeah?
I was good until times 11.
Anything times 12, just multiply it by 10 and add 2.
I don't know why. I could always do 12 times 5 because I remember when I reached 5 feet tall for the first time.
Yeah.
That's 60 inches. And then it's like, oh, 6 foot is 72. But yeah, after that, I can get a bit squirrely.
Yeah. Well, they're still behind their season pace.
Behind the pace.
They're still behind their pace. They've only scored 9.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is they are in the 6. There's still time, but it's... 9-4 Blue Jays in the 6, and the Nebraska game got rained out today, and they're not going to make it up.
Yeah, apparently they tried to do a doubleheader tomorrow in the College of Charleston, right? That's who they're playing? Was
yes.
Like, no, thank you. We're still working to get Sam. Max tweets in about the early signing period. I'm not against the June signing day, but another thought is a kid signs with the school in June, he blows up and does really well. When the Bamas of the world come calling and he wants out of his signing, it doesn't seem signing means anything anymore. See, now, Max... Here is where I would say, so I mean, I guess in theory they could be like, I'm entering the portal, you know, before they kind of be like expanding the playoff before we even get a playoff. So maybe it's a good point for Max. I have no idea.
By the way, Sam had to be called away on assignment.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, it has nothing to do with the Bill Moose book.
Oh
man, I wish it would have.
If you missed it though earlier on the Connor Happer show.
Jerky?
Steve Sipple was a little bit late to his appearance. Now, you know, when Sipple's late to our appearances, he doesn't come in with some big juicy nuggets.
No, it's usually like I was pooping.
Right.
Hashtag nuggets.
Or he just forgot.
Mainly that. I was asleep.
Sip was informed today, and he said this on Connor's show,
mm-hmm.
that he got off the phone with Bill Moose, and Bill Moose is writing a book about his experiences.
Amazing.
Which will include his experiences at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I want to be correct in this. I don't want to overestimate, but was the idea that there would be some juicy nuggets that people around here would have to respond to? Is that how it was couched?
I believe I need to listen to the interview, which I will
too.
Do so
go,
tonight.
Go to the 1620thezone.com page and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, or wherever you find podcasts.
Or whatever you find your podcast.
Yeah, so like so the question is that the university responding or just fan fervor and curiousness, fan/media? Because I imagine...
Or could it be individuals? And remember, the people that hired Bill Moose
people
and the
are
people
all
that Bill
gone.
Moose hired...
And one of them is the governor.
Are all gone, with the exception of Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, but, I mean...
And I'm guessing there's not going to be anything too terribly nasty about Fred Hoiberg in there, because Fred's a straight-up guy, you know.
Yeah, so normally...
Right, said Fred.
Right, said Fred.
You think of books in this kind of world that have come out like this before, and a lot of times there will be some pulling of punches because... They don't want to ruin potential job opportunities in the future. Maybe they have good relationships.
Don't want to burn bridges.
Maybe that things ended on good terms. Didn't really seem like this ended on good terms. I don't think that he wants to do another job. Like, he has reached an age where he's probably just going to hang out on his ranch
he's
forever.
Done. He's like, not, he's not going to work in athletic administration
anymore. In theory, that would make it seem like he could pull zero punches or at least be as honest as he wants to be. Now, I wonder what the fact-checking process is going to be like. How much of this will be fact versus how much of this will be Bill Moose's opinion? Because that is also the difference. Like, he can say, X did Y. Mm-hmm. Or he could say, it seemed like this decision was made because then that does allow you to remove some of, again, the fact-checking process. I'm interested just from the, I mean, just that we cover this program. It's kind of fascinating.
I'm interested to see how much is actually going to be said if it's 250 pages and it's going to cover his time everywhere.
I mean, you, keep in mind, this was the guy who hired Mike Leach. Chapter.
He did hire Mike. Yeah, I mean, Nick's not wrong, though. It could just be one chapter on Nebraska. My guess is it won't be.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, you can use anything to promote a book.
I'm trying to see what his career looks like or what his whole career.
But obviously, remember.
He also played college football. Don't forget he played.
He did.
He became an associate or an assistant AD in 82 at Washington State. Then in 88, he became an associate AD there. Then in 1990, he went to Montana to become their athletic director. 95, Oregon. 2010, Washington State. And then 2017, Nebraska. He oversaw some very interesting time periods. You just mentioned Leach. Obviously, we know what happened here. Oregon, that is kind of their ascent to becoming a football power.
Some of this, too, I think, is to allow him to cleanse his image. Not that he was a dirty player or, you know, did anything awful, but remember there were people at Washington State that thought he spent too freely and they had issues.
They had a
finances.
Lot of money issues, yes.
Issues with finances. And then here, remember the 36-hour period where we thought he was fired?
See, that is a part of this story that I would be very interested to see if it was in there.
And there was a lot of allegations going around about exactly what it was he was doing that got him into that sticky wicket.
That went to a point where the university put out a statement, and those of us who had been following the story and hearing a lot of these whispers were like, oh, so there's the statement. A lot of people read that, and they were like, what? Why is
there
a statement?
Where did this come from?
Yeah,
yes.
Like some national people were like, what's this about? I'm confused. That was 5 years ago now, by the way.
Yes.
That was 2019 when that happened.
And so he's probably looking to, you know, clear the air or at least give his side on that because he never did speak on that.
No, he did not. Nobody did.
And then, of course, everything that happened with the unraveling.
Hell, John, why did he get pushed out? You know,
yes,
that,
why did he
that
get
story,
out?
Again, we've heard things behind the scenes, but we have never heard a definitive answer because they said, oh, yeah, he retired. It certainly doesn't have the appearance of him retiring, though. And
no.
He kind of alluded to that talking to Sam McEwen. So, yeah, there's a lot there with Nebraska. And so I understand where Nick's coming from. And Hurt and Husker fan writes 250 pages so far. You know, how much bigger can this book actually get? Especially
well,
with the editing process.
He did say that he aims for it to be out by football season,
that's,
though, right?
Yeah, that's pretty
so
fast.
So that's, what, July, mid-August
mm-hmm.
at the latest?
Yeah.
I mean, the audience for this is going to be mostly Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do Washington State fan? I guess if there's some interesting Leach stuff in there, but...
Maybe,
you know.
but let's face it, the people who are going to be more likely to buy this book are going to come from Nebraska because of the fervor and the passion that this place has and the mystery that has surrounded just everything in general, even stuff that has nothing to do with Bill Moose. We have always wondered aloud if anyone was going to write the definitive story about these last 25 years of Nebraska football and Nebraska athletics. And there's so many different eras.
Yeah, and while
there's
this
the
won't
collapse
be...
of the Solich era, there's Steve Peterson, there's Bill Callahan, then there's Bo Pelini, then there's Tom Osborne, then there's Sean Eichhorst.
Harvey Pearlman.
Bill. I mean, all of these different
and then,
principals.
Moose and Frost.
And honestly, you could. There's enough material there about all of those separate eras to try to do one giant book. Would be really, really difficult, in my opinion, there's so many different eras and so many different thought processes. And the fact that this is the first person to actually be willing to go out there and do that is interesting. We've always thought, you know, hey, what if Sipple wrote a book? What if Dirk wrote a book?
That's always what it is. Yeah, it was what if Dirk.
But it's getting people to talk. Well, here's one of the people who was actually at Ground Zero.
I hope Dirk does.
During a certain period of time.
I miss Dirk.
And is willing to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it on his own. And that alone is probably going to sell some books because there has been this, there's just been this great fascination with how did it all go wrong? And this happens to be at the very end. Not that the losing has totally stopped, but it seems like the bleeding of athletic administrative strife has come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
There is stability. There is peace. There is peace in the Husker universe. There appears to be cohesion between the very tops of university administration, the Trev Albertses of the world, and all the coaches below that. There, for the first time in a generation, it seems like there's unity of purpose, as it's been dubbed around here.
Text from the from Brent, excuse me, says you should see this video with Michael Sevier. Seen Michael's video?
Well, I wonder if
Moose has seen Michael's video.
Well, Michael's video make an appearance
question.
In the book.
I hope that's the one. If Nebraska just gets a chapter, I hope that's mentioned in the chapter.
Yeah, and then
well,
this...
you know how some of these books have the middle section where it's all pictures.
Yes,
and the paper is more glossy. You know, so the pictures look better. Will one of the still pictures be a screenshot of Michael's video?
Then the shirt will be immortalized in print.
That would be amazing.
Now it's got to be in color. It can't be black and white. Otherwise, we won't be able to appreciate the true two-tone nature of the shirt. Of the
Saints
shirt.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be awesome. And then this guy, Michael Sevier, had a microphone shoved in his face by a couple of youngsters at a sports bar.
Right after a Saints game.
3 minutes later, the video was uploaded to YouTube, where it now has 2 million views.
My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Nebraska media took flack for it, for not spilling the beans.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, I look forward to it. I hope it actually does happen.
I'm certainly intrigued, John. I'm certainly
intrigued. I just don't want to be disappointed. I don't want it to be like Nick is where it's one chapter and there's nothing in there. I mean, if we're gonna do this, let's do this.
Oh yeah.
Let's make this interesting.
I feel like a lot of the book is gonna be about Oregon. I mean, you said yourself that's kind of what kickstarted their rise into prominence.
You think so?
I have a feeling it's going to be, I think a lot of the chapters or a lot of the book will be focused on that.
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't there for like the Chip Kelly era.
Yeah.
So, Nick, I'll politely disagree.
Oh.
Yeah.
He'll politely disagree.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it is One Beer Friday, brought to you by the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild. And this week, Scratchtown Brewing Company.
It's a different guy.
Oh, that's too bad.
Where's our guy? Where's Green Jeans?
Mr. Green Jeans is not doing the weather today. By the way, Elkhorn North won. They beat Beatrice by 10.
Thank you. I'd missed the ending. I was wondering
what happened. I did mention the beginning of it with Husker commit Britt Prince.
What's Beatrice's mascot?
The Orangeman. I think it's now just the Orange, but it used to be it's the Orangeman.
Why?
Because it's the Orangeman.
Okay.
That's what Syracuse is, Nick. No, wait, they're just the Orange.
They're just the Orange.
Yeah. Syracuse Orange.
Which also confuses me.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what Beatrice is.
I was mostly curious because they stole the Oregon logo. To use
you're really hung up on this thing.
I'm a little hung up on it.
Nick, a lot of schools do this.
No, I know. It's just weird seeing the Oregon one.
Okay.
For whatever
reason.
Well,
it's not the complete Oregon one. Otherwise, there would be copyright infringement and they would probably get sued.
Hmm. Unless Oregon just doesn't know about Beatrice, Nebraska.
They probably don't. One Beer Friday is next, the happy hour on 1620 The Zone.